Okay, picture the thing that you've always wanted to learn. Maybe it's how to play chess or creative writing or gardening. Now picture learning that thing from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That is what you get with Masterclass. Masterclass is such an easy way to help you learn more about something you're interested in. You can seriously find classes on everything from turning your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart to principles of improv from Amy Poehler. Are you kidding me? Y'all, I did a cooking class with Gordon Ramsay. And it was so much fun. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best and become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't waste another minute to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our friends get an additional 15% off of any annual membership at masterclass.com/soundsfun. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/soundsfun. masterclass.com/soundsfun.
Merry Christmas, podcast listeners.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the final episode of the 2018 That Sounds Fun Christmas Party. I am your host, Annie F. Downs, here with the whole Downs Books team, Kate, Eliza, and Jenna. And we are so happy to be here with you today for a very special Christmas Eve show. Hey, the music in the background, it's from our good friend. Who's it from, everybody?
Dave Barnes.
Dave Barnes. He is not Santa Claus, but he is Dave Barnes, and we adore him and are so thankful for him. And so make sure you grab some of his Christmas albums and any of his albums, really. My very favorite. Well, that's not fair. I love them all. So I just love them all. Girls, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
This is very exciting. We haven't all ever been on a podcast together.
It's a great time.
I know. Kate, what do you want for Christmas this year? What are you hoping for?
I asked for anything from the shop forward, basically.
Yes,
anything Pimp and Joy.
Yes.
Love the Bobby Bones show.
Yes. Do you? I don't think I knew that about you.
Yeah.
Okay. We should get Radio Amy on here.
I know. I love her.
Okay.
And I'm a big fashion person, so clothes or jewelry or purses or things like that.
For people who haven't maybe seen you on Instagram, Insta Story, what would you say your job is here?
I am a part-time assistant in Nashville because Eliza's not in Nashville.
That's right. And you just handle all the things.
I try.
You're very detailed.
I am.
Yes, that helps. Eliza, what'd you ask for Christmas?
Okay, I was thinking about this. I don't think I asked for this very well, but I have a hope in my heart that I'm going to get a cheetah fur jacket.
A cheetah fur jacket, yeah.
Yeah.
You did. We tried one on.
Yeah, we almost bought one together, and then I think that moment made me realize how much I want one.
Okay.
Though, we do like a family Christmas list online where we can see each other's list, and I never put it on there, which was silly of me.
Yeah.
But other than that,
I also didn't get you a cheetah fur jacket. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Annie.
I know. I did get you, but I just don't want you to be holding on.
Be holding
hope
on.
For the next
I know.
Four
no,
hours
it's
of
actually
our
good.
Party.
It's good that I know that now.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't. I wanted
but
to, but
hoping,
I didn't.
I'm just hoping Santa
maybe
brings that.
Santa listens now to the show.
True.
So he'll
if
hear
you're
you.
Out there, SC, I know you're out there. Remember me.
Eliza, what's your job at Downs Books?
My job is being your boss.
That's right, pretty much. It's pretty much true.
Yeah, on the road and then in Atlanta.
That's right.
Yeah.
And over the next couple of weeks, you're transitioning out.
I am. To welcome in.
To welcome in Jenna.
Me.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Jenna, what are you asking for Christmas?
I asked for world peace.
Oh, my God. And ladies and gentlemen, I've hired an Enneagram 9, just so you know.
Yes, I am a peacemaker.
Yes, okay.
No, just the normal shoes, purse, clothes, so all the adult things that you ask
for. Do you and your husband do, like, gifts for each other? Do you do, like, one big gift, or do y'all do a trip? How do y'all?
We usually do, like, 2 to 3 big gifts and then stocking stuffers.
Okay. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, and I make him wrap all my stocking stuff because that's what my Santa did.
Okay,
so,
sure. That was your experience as Santa as a child.
Yes, so I have to unwrap a lot of gifts, even if it's
you love
a
it.
Pack of gum.
Yeah, you love it.
Yes.
And what would your job title be?
Chief Annie Officer.
That's right. You're the CAO. You're the Chief Annie Officer. That's right. So when people email now, starting now, they'll be getting
starting
you
now.
As mm-hmm. Eliza transitions out. That's all we're going to say about that because we have a lot of feelings. A
lot of feelings totally in this fine. Room, but it's good.
It's good. Just it's really good. We have feelings. A super great team. So today's episode is kind of like a mixture of my favorite things and an old school, I don't know, gather your family around the radio kind of Christmas Eve show. I just got some of my very favorite people, including the ones that you have already heard, got us all together and just recorded some of my very favorite things. So we're going to start with the best dad I know. Luckily, he's also the one that I have. My dad is going to read to us "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." All right, Tom, take it away.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were all nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mom in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blixen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys was flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and his beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. He winked in his eye and twisted his head, soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprung to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him explain ere he drove out of sight. Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
I've always wanted to have Dad on the podcast, and you guys asked to have my parents on the podcast, so there you go. There is my dad reading "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." It's a family tradition for us. That is what my dad reads every year on Christmas Eve to all of us, and it's just really special. So I wanted that to share with you. So thanks, Dad. That was really kind of you. You guys know another people group that I absolutely love are my mini BFFs. They are the kids of my very best friends, hence mini BFF. And a couple days ago, I sat down with a bunch of kids and I asked them some very important questions about Christmas, all about Santa and what Christmas is about, and kind of just wanted to hear their thoughts. And it was better than I could have dreamed. So here are a couple of minutes with my friends, my mini BFFs from all across Nashville. I hope you enjoy it.
Can I ask you some questions about Christmas?
Yes.
For starters, what is your name, sir?
Ben.
And how old are you, Ben?
7.
Yes, you are 7. How long?
I just turned it.
Yeah, you did. You just turned it. Okay, here's my first question about Christmas. Tell me about Santa Claus.
Big white beard.
You gotta talk here. Big white beard.
Red puffy coat. And yeah. I thought he almost had a pillow in his belly since he's so fat.
All right. Is he old or young?
Oh, very old. I thought it was like 103 already.
Oh, he might be 103 already.
My name is Theo Jack Layman.
And how old are you, Theo?
4 and a half.
4 and a half? Tell me what Santa Claus looks like.
He has a beard.
What color is it?
White.
White. Is he old or young?
Old.
How old do you think he is?
90.
Oh, 90. Okay, so where does Santa Claus live?
At the North Pole.
Who else lives up there?
The elves.
What do they do?
They make the toys.
They do. Okay, tell me what else about baby Jesus' birth. Did anybody come to visit him after he was born?
God.
God did.
God is his real dad.
God is his real dad. Why did Jesus come to earth as a baby?
Because he loved us.
Yeah.
My name is Luca.
And how old are you, Luca?
Oh, I'm 5 and a half.
Oh. Can you tell me what you know about Santa Claus? Tell me about that guy.
He gives, he says, if we're naughty, mm-hmm. or if we're nice, and he gives us presents.
Yeah. What's he look like?
He has big, like, beard.
Yeah.
And he has a hat on.
Yeah.
And he has a big tummy.
How old is he?
He's 100.
100? That's what Ben said, too. How do you guys know everything?
I don't know.
Tell me, how does Santa travel?
In a sleigh.
In a sleigh. Who runs the sleigh?
Reindeers.
Reindeers. Do you know their names? Do you know their
Billy, Bluecom, Millie, John, Jilly, Rudolph.
Really? Oh, I heard
Reddy,
one.
Reddy. That's all.
How about Dancer, Prancer?
Fancer.
Tell me your name.
Levitin McLaughlin.
Who's your mommy?
Amy.
And who's your daddy?
John.
John. What's his last name?
John McLaughlin.
That's right. Livy, how old are you?
3.
3. Can you tell me about Santa Claus?
I saw Santa Claus on TV and Jesus was so old, and that mad guy killed him. Heaven.
Yeah, that's a fast version of that story. She said Jesus was old, mad guy killed him. Heaven. It's like, yeah. If you want to put it in one sentence, okay. What's your name?
Xana.
Xana, how old are you?
I'm 4.
You're 4. You and I love the same thing. We love sparkles. Mm-hmm. And we love painting our toenails mm-hmm. and our fingernails.
Why are these shoes old?
No, they're not super old. I've had them for a little bit. What do they look like? What do my shoes look like?
Sparkle.
Oh, yeah, girl. What color sparkle?
Gold.
Gold sparkle, our favorite. Xana, what do you want for Christmas this year?
Cry babies that cry and
wait, you want a baby that cries?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll cry. Is that what you want?
No, a cry baby.
I'm a cry baby.
No.
Oh.
A baby that cries and that has napkins. So and when we put the passy on, then it stops crying.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And then it can go to sleep.
What do you think Daddy wants for Christmas?
I think a microphone that you can sing.
Oh. Who? What's your mommy's name?
Annie.
What's my name?
Annie.
What? We have the same name? That's crazy. Yeah. Wait, what do you call me, though?
Crazy Annie.
That's right.
Serious Annie.
Serious, thank you. Do you have a favorite Christmas song you want to sing?
No, well, but I've made up a new line of Deck the Halls.
Oh, I'd love to
Deck
hear it.
Deck the Halls with bunch of branches. Ah, 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 ah. Actually, it's wah, 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 W.
That's the new line.
That's the new one?
Yeah.
That's the new line. Will you sing it one more time?
Deck the Halls with bunch of branches. Wah, 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 wah.
That's very good. I like it. Thanks to the kids and the parents.
Thanks to the kids for being the cutest, and thanks to my friends for having the cutest kids. I'm just so grateful. So thanks to the kids, I was able to corral in just a short amount of time. I love you guys. A couple of days ago, passing by my office door was our podcast pastor, Pastor Kevin Queen, actually the pastor of Crosspoint that I just have made also into the pastor of our podcast. But Pastor Kevin was passing by and I just asked him if he'd pop in and talk to us a little bit about, like, okay, now that Advent is ending, right? It ends tomorrow on Christmas Day. The thing we've been waiting for is here. And we've celebrated since the girls came on from She Reached Truth and He Reached Truth. We've celebrated and talked about the waiting of Advent and what God is doing in Advent and what we are waiting for. And so I asked Pastor Kevin to step in and tell us a little bit about that. And also what's coming next in 2019 for Nashville. I think it, no matter what city you live in, I think you're going to find this really interesting. So here is a couple of minutes here for our Christmas show with Pastor Kevin. All right, Pastor of the Pod.
Annie.
Welcome back, Kevin.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Listen, I don't even know if you know this, but we already have you on the calendar again. So
really?
Just hang on till February. Okay. We'll get you back.
Holding on.
Thank you for joining us. This is the Christmas Eve show. We've got a lot. It's just like a little variety show, but I wanted you to pop in if you had a few minutes and kind of just tell us a little bit. You've been doing the He Reached Truth plan.
Yes.
I've done She Reached Truth plan. And that's, you actually decided to incorporate that into what our whole church was doing this season.
We did. Well, it goes back years ago. Ree did the She Reached Truth plan
for a
long time. My wife. Yeah. And she did She Reached Truth, and she finally converted me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I began doing the plan, and I loved it that we were aligned and reading the same scripture. Now we don't do our devotionals together, but that we were sharing the same material that we were reading through. Yeah. We were processing through. And so it became conversational in the home, and we pick a verse out and we might talk about it during the day, but it just became real, just real natural and normal, to life. And so coming here and then knowing that, they're down in Franklin, you know, not far from where we are, just, and knowing as a church, just saying that we want to be a people of the book, right? The people that love the word. There's this power that comes when there's a love for the Word of God and where there's a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. And when those two things come together, I really believe that's when people are revived. Like that's when they live the flourishing life, the life we were created for. So knowing how can we get people to love, and what I love about He Reached Truth, She Reached Truth is the way that they pull the Old Testament passages, the New Testament passages together, where there's just an aha moment. Mm-hmm. Even finding things that you've never seen before, they've been the whole time.
Like, oh my gosh, wow. That's what happened to me today. Did you see me tweet that? I said it today because they did the verse on He will give you a new heart. He'll take your heart to stone. And then it says, and then you will obey His decrees and follow His word. And da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, He went first.
Yes.
I had no idea this whole time. Like, He first traded out my heart for a heart of flesh and traded out my heart. And then I obey. It's not me and He responds to me. I'm always responding to Him.
Right. And those aha moments are addictive.
Yeah. Because you know, I've read that scripture a gazillion times in my life.
Right. And then you see it. And there's that that new idea, that inspiration. He illuminates the text. And you're going, okay. And then there's just this, there's this craving, like, I got to get back to it tomorrow. Like, and I think that's part of what they do at Reads Truth that's just so helpful for people, that whether you've been reading the Bible for a long time or whether you're just starting, it makes it accessible.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, right? I mean, there's the aesthetics where you're just like, man, I feel like I'm going into a nice restaurant.
Yeah,
and a nice
that's right.
Meal.
That's
So it changes the setting.
So for people who have celebrated Advent for the first time, it's Christmas Eve and it ends tonight into tomorrow. Like, tomorrow we get what we came here for. Like, the waiting is over.
Yes.
And you said something at church yesterday when we were praying that I reflected on again this morning. You said, I don't even remember if you remember saying this, but you said, let's worship today like He comes back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, what if this is, and I've been thinking so much about, like, oh yeah, what if today's the last day I don't see Him, how do I want to worship?
Right.
If this is because once we see Him, our faith is done. We don't have to believe anything we don't see anymore. So how do I want to live today?
Yes.
So what does it look like with Advent? How do we want, what do we want to do on Christmas Eve that changes tomorrow?
Yeah, no, that's great. You know,
I know it is great.
Oh, it's incredible. that was so good.
That was the truth.
I just would tweet that.
I love that though, the idea of our faith. This is, at some point, we don't have to do this by faith anymore.
Right. And I think, you know, I've always wanted, not always, but as an adult, I think I've wanted to be a person who finishes well.
Yeah.
And so I remember there was one time, just like in a fasting season, mm-hmm. God, would you give me the heart of a finisher? You know, what does it mean to be a person who finishes well, especially in these seasons?
Yeah.
To go, man, I want to hit the finish line, yeah, of anticipation. So I think when we talk about how do we finish Advent, well, it's worship till the end,
yeah,
you know, and really worship is, well, where are we fixing our eyes? Mm-hmm. And it's just so easy in a holiday season where there are so many fun things, and it's just, yeah, super fun,
yeah,
and it's fun with, you know, family, fun with friends, but to fix our eyes on Him and allow Him just to woo us and to draw us across, mm-hmm, the finish line. That's why in the worship, I think in Advent, we're celebrating that He came one time, but at the same time, we're with the anticipation He is coming back again.
Right.
Like,
right,
we are going to see Him in that moment.
Yeah.
And that's what draws me to that place.
Yeah, it's something I've really thought about for 2 days now, of like, if tomorrow I get everything I want, how do I want to live today?
Yeah.
And if tomorrow everything changes, how do I want to live today?
Yeah.
And on Christmas Eve, tomorrow everything changes.
Everything changes.
Everything changes.
And you know, I think
400 years of silence. It's done tomorrow.
Done. Finished. Yeah. I think for a lot, I mean, when I was growing up, this thought of Jesus coming back, like I prayed for it, you know, in final exam, you know.
Yeah.
But then there were times where I prayed for it. But then there was kind of this fear of like, oh, I don't, you know, I don't know if I'm ready. But like,
yeah,
I think as you grow in your faith, like, He is the one we want more than anything else in this life. Like, yeah, there's just this longing, our hearts long to see Him. Mm-hmm. And then to think that that 2,000 years ago, that a handful of people, you know, got to see Christ coming, yeah, in this world, yeah, and in this obscure little place, and He meets us in the obscurity, yeah, you know, of life today in those places as
what
well.
What has Advent been like for you?
Well, you know, it's been interesting for us as a church. We had this whole series planned out, but then the first week of the teaching was on waiting.
Yeah.
And then it just felt like God said, I want you to kind of scrap those plans.
No,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I just want you to talk about waiting.
Yeah, you did the whole, all three. We're going to link to all three because I think they're just three of your best teachings, mm-hmm, and I've listened to you intentionally for a year and a half and somewhat from 20 years, but I mean, that was some great teaching.
Yeah. There are those times where you feel like there's a real sensitive place in the culture that's open for the gospel in a way that maybe you haven't seen before. And so the window's, yeah, open. It's like, man, I mean, I think we should knock on doors and go through doors, but sometimes when a window's open, you just jump.
That's right. So you threw away the other 2 weeks and just kept going on waiting.
Yeah, yeah. So that was we were going to talk about a sacred time and a sacred place. And, you know,
yeah, I remember that actually from outlining.
That was the
script.
So.
And then you just tossed it and said, let's just talk about waiting. So,
and we were just, these stories were coming up of people who were waiting on the Lord. And some of them, yeah, were messy, and then, yeah, some of them were fulfilled. And it's just, we entered into the mess,
yeah,
of waiting, because that's where most of us are in,
yeah,
our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So. When you think about Christmas morning, what do you have ritual is not the right word. Do you have traditions about you and God for Christmas morning that are different? I mean, I know your kids are still probably wake up at, I mean, I can't imagine Bolton sleeps past 4:30 on Christmas morning.
No, you know? I don't even know if they go to sleep.
So yeah, yeah,
a,
yeah.
You know, it's a great question. Yeah. I think for us, like, we'll gather together as a family in the kind of family bed.
Yeah.
Like, and so we all pull together. It's like the one time that, like, you know, the kids, everybody gets in bed, and we'll go through and we'll read the Christmas story together as a family.
Before you open anything?
Yeah, before we go down. And so that gives a reset, like,
yeah. Yeah,
to the heart. So that's important. And for us, it's a lot of family,
yeah,
right? And it's a lot of sharing those moments. And, you know, we take, Ree comes from a family where everyone just takes turns. Like, it's all the focus is on one person. And I think that kind of presses against the, you know, just the
queen
flying
way.
That's, yeah, right. That's just flying through and digging in. But yeah, that reading that scripture and having that time together, reading that devotional as a family, is super meaningful. And we go through an Advent reading as a family with the kids, and Ree has an Advent calendar where we count down. And so,
yeah,
so even having that reading, that's when we read the final, you know, the Christmas.
She's an extraordinary mother.
Mm.
Like, it sometimes feels like she was born to do a lot of things. Yeah. Nobody was born to be a wife and a mom. I mean, that is not alone.
Right.
That is not a full calling on anyone, is to be in family, because we all should be in family. But man, she's extraordinary at it.
Yeah, she is wonderful at tradition. Like, yeah, that's she is. It. That's and just her nurture, her nurture heart. She's super disciplined, super strong. She's super stable. Huge encourager for me and for the kids. And I watch even the way that that she works with them on school things, like the compassion there. But she, it's interesting, like just the tradition, and she'll come up with new traditions. We were out at dinner the other night, and we had the kids together, and she said, well, let's do a scavenger hunt for Christmas tree, Christmas lights, like decoration in people's yards. And so we came up, we just listed things. So we listed about 15 things, you know, from a sleigh to, you know, Noel on a sign. We all see inflatable Santa. And then we went through and we walked through downtown Franklin, and we're walking past all these houses, trying to check things off the list. Yeah. You know? And I was like, man, I love that, because that'll probably become another trend, you know,
and
tradition.
And it didn't take money.
It didn't take money,
and
no.
It didn't take a lot of prep time. It is literally like, while we're sitting here, let's just start listing 10 things.
We listed the things, and then we walked around to find them. And then we had to get in our car and drive around, because there were a couple, like, elves.
Then you were like, whoops.
How are you going to find an elf? Like, we're looking for an elf, for an inflatable elf. And so, so you got to work hard. Those things, they're kind of like trolls. Yeah. I mean, they really are. Elves are scary. Things.
So we had one on the podcast last week.
Oh, did
Little
we?
Scooter. Okay. Yeah, so you'll get to hear him. It's coming out. You'll get to hear Little Scooter. So we could have just called him, and he could have gotten you one. I think that's amazing about her. Yeah, the tradition thing, that's what I've watched her do so beautifully.
Yeah.
Is she has these patterns that invite the kids to, invite people into what it looks like to have discipline's the right word, but it's not exactly the right word. Mm-hmm. It's traditions. I think that's the right word. I think that's what
I think
she
it is.
Is.
It's those anchor points, because some people are spontaneous, right? Yeah. And we love the spontaneity. We love the new. But then those anchor points we come back to every single year, and we know. And I think we all need predictable space in our lives where we can be at rest. You know, and it's those predictable places that just go, okay, I'm safe here. I can decompress, you know, and so that's what.
Is there an expectation from God on people having quiet times on Christmas, or on what happens between Christmas and New Year's? And like, does he expect us to have a quiet time on Christmas?
You know, that's funny. I hope not, because I get up and I spend time with him, but I don't think God's got a list and he's checking it twice.
That's,
you know,
right.
I don't think he's looking like, okay, I think he wants to know, do you love me? Then love the people around you.
Yeah.
And just be really great. Like, I think he wants us to be grateful. And I think he wants to enjoy it with us.
Yeah.
You know, and so here's something I would just encourage people. Like, almost like we took that list of 15 things and we said, hey, we were like, what if you sat with God on Christmas morning, or maybe the night, just say, God, here's some things I'm looking for.
Mm.
You know, as we go into tomorrow, like, here's some things I would love for you to show me.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of dream with him a little bit. And what if the Spirit just gave you some things that you just began to write down and look for on Christmas? Because what you're looking for, like, here's the thing, what you're praying for is what you're looking for.
Mm.
And what you're looking for, you tend to find.
Yeah.
And so what if we spent some time just almost dreaming with God about what we would love to see and let him meet us in things that don't cost money, but that are costly.
Yeah.
You know, the things that are so valuable.
Yeah. You said one of the things you said in your teaching last week is the most valuable things you're waiting for, that wait is the most uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, that made me know about that.
Yeah.
I think we all do. Everybody knows about
that's
that.
That's life.
Yeah, yeah. That's real life. Everybody's a wanter.
Yes.
It's part of the deal. What'd you ask for Christmas? Do grown-ups get gifts in your family?
I mean, it usually comes down to the week before, and we're like, oh, we got to get something. What do you
right,
you
right,
know?
Right, right.
So I think I asked for a pair of shoes, like workout shoes. I mean, it's really boring stuff.
And it's such grown-up stuff.
A knife. I asked Reefer for like a buck knife or something.
Yeah, yeah. So
we'll
see. Can slit the canopy above us. That's right. okay, so going into the new year.
Yeah.
We have one more show on Thursday with Eddie to kind of recap the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love for you just real quick to kind of talk about, like, so many people that have gone like, okay, I've been hanging out with Annie for a little bit. I'd love to start reading the Bible. I'm going to start in January.
Yes.
Or they're going to do 100 Days to Brave with us. We're going to start January 1 and go through April 10th and do 100 Days to Brave. Or they go like, I'm going to pray about this thing. I'm going to do January 1. I'm going to start a spiritual something.
Yes.
What's your encouragement or advice to someone doing something like that?
First thing is do it.
Yeah, just
like, just
do
go
it.
Go after.
Yeah,
yeah. I think I had a guy ask me one time. He said, "Have you ever?" About 6 years ago, he said, "Have you ever read through the Bible in a year?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I've read the Bible, but not in a year. And yeah. he said, well, you should.
Huh.
And I was like, okay.
Okay.
And so I just kind of thought about it. I was like, yeah, I could. Yeah. And so going through that Bible in a year for that first time, but I wouldn't have done it without his challenge. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't start on January 1st. And yeah. so I think stepping into those things with a whole lot of grace,
right.
but then at the same time, like I think God wants us to, you know, grace, I think we were talking about this yesterday, that grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning.
That was yeah. good. I wrote so it down every service. Yeah. I heard you every service, and I wrote down every service.
Just going that God still wants us to put forth effort, and then he meets us in that effort with more yeah. grace, yeah. with the grace to do the thing.
Yeah, so that's right.
So just I'd say go after it.
Yeah, go after it.
And then, you know, I think invite God into the difficulty and challenge of it and just pray, God, would you give me a heart of a finisher?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like December 31st, 2019, God, yeah. I'd love yeah. to complete the Bible or, you know, at the end, I'd love to complete these 100 days
yeah.
and then give him glory. Like, God, thank yeah. you. Thank you yeah. that I got done. And,
yeah.
And be able to picture yourself being done. Like,
yeah.
See that and then let that pull you through.
I don't do New Year's resolutions. I do New Year's experiments. Have we talked about this before?
No.
Because everyone quits resolutions, just about. But everyone finishes experiments. In science class, you never quit halfway through because you want to see if it blows up.
I love that.
And so with an experiment, you go, huh, who could I be?
Yes.
What if this was an experiment? Who could I be if I went on a 20-minute walk every day for the first 100 days of the year? Who could I be?
Yes.
And who could I be if I read my Bible for 5 minutes a day every day this year? Who could I be?
Because I love the emphasis on be
yeah.
and being rather than like doing.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
I love that.
Yeah. What am I going to become?
What am I going to become?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
And so you look back on December 31st of 2019, you go, I did not know the experiment was going to go like this.
Yeah.
That is so fascinating.
It is.
And yet it did. So
we're clumsy.
Yeah.
Like no matter what right. we say, we're just clumsy and giving ourselves the grace to be clumsy with yeah. it and just get back up.
Yeah.
I love the picture metaphor. Chip Dodd, the guy that you told me about, an author you told me about, he said in his book, he said, even his parents, he said, we're like giraffes on roller skates. And I love yeah. that picture. I'm like, that's the way it feels like with a lot
right.
of these experiments, with a lot of these resolutions, but it's just
right.
getting back up and
that's
finding
right.
grace in the clumsiness.
That's right. And you've most likely, you've got a lot more years to do this.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we never know what tomorrow holds, but we're going to try 2019 a little different
yes.
and then readjust again. I did the same in 2018. Okay. One more thing I want to talk about. Okay. Will you talk a little bit about the prayer and fasting that the Nashville churches are doing this
yeah.
month? Cause I, a lot of our listeners and friends that check in are parts of, or live close ish to us. They're,
yeah.
So I'd love for you to talk about that.
Yeah. So a friend of ours, Dave Clayton, is a local pastor at Ethos Church. And Dave and I have, just built a friendship relationship, and it's
yeah.
just been, we've started gathering pastors together to pray. And so it was a group of about 8 to 10, and then it just started to get some momentum. And then God put on Dave's heart to get local pastors of Middle Tennessee to fast and pray, and their churches to fast and pray from January 27th to February 24th, mm-hmm. January 24th to February 27th.
And no, you're right. January 27th to February 24th, February Sunday 24th. To Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday yeah. to Sunday. And so that would be 30 days of fasting and prayer. And it started with a handful of churches.
Yeah.
And with this, though, each person who says they want to be a part of this, they're going to get a packet. And there's a book that talks about what fasting is. And
yeah.
also in that, there's going to be a list of people who live in Nashville metro area. And so each person will get a list of 10 names.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they can pray for those people,
those 10 people.
By name.
Oh,
and pray that they would come to faith. And
yeah.
then they'll also have an address. And so they have the option to write a note and just say, hey, just want to let you know that
we're
the people of God, like in Nashville, we're praying for you.
Yeah.
And so it'll be significant. So then the thought that, look, just hundreds of thousands of people across Middle Tennessee will be
yeah.
prayed for by
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
And we know that anytime God does something, you know, a broad stroke move of his spirit,
yeah.
revival, awakening, it first starts with concerted prayer. And so that's where we're going for together.
So someone who's in Middle Tennessee, how do they get involved?
Yeah. So you can go to Awaken Nashville. You just Google Awaken Nashville and you
yeah.
can click on there. If pastors and leaders, just invite
okay.
your pastor. I think there are 270, 280 churches
that have signed on. Just in Middle Tennessee.
In Middle Tennessee.
Awaken Nashville.
Awaken Nashville.
If you're not in Nashville,
mm-hmm.
what would it look like to do this in your community?
Yeah. I think, you know, I think to, to get together with some other people and pray. I'd say don't go it out alone.
Yeah.
You know, to get people together and pray.
Even just one other friend, and just go, hey, I heard Nashville's doing this.
Right.
And so what if we prayed these 30 days too?
Join for those 30 days. And if you've never fasted, I think it's the most powerful and effective spiritual discipline. Mm-hmm. And so to enter in that, and it's not legal, it's not legalistic. I mean, you can ask the Lord, ask God, how would you have me fast?
Yeah.
But it's a significant, especially when there are things like we're praying for awakening and we're praying for something bigger than us, you know? And so I joined with that. In fact, you can go to Awaken Nashville and you can find out more and it'll give the specifics of what that looks
That's
like.
That's awesome. So, you know, I've really been asking the Lord, like, what does it look like for me to be a part of this? I did a pretty significant fast last year and where I am, I've had so many, like, I haven't talked about this very publicly, but I've had so many like weird body issues in the last few months that I totally don't feel like the Lord's going like, yeah, go after pure fasting. Right. I feel like I would misuse that this time. But I'm noticing I spend a ton of time watching TV. And so it's not fasting by the definition of fasting for me. But what I'm like is like, well, if I need time to pray, maybe I stop watching TV for 30 days.
Yeah.
And it's not a traditional fast. John Mark Comer teaches that the only time you use fasting is when you're not eating food. Everything else is a version. Mm-hmm. But man, it's so interesting. I've already even been thinking about like, oh, that's what my 30 days is going to look like, is we're just going to quiet everything.
Yes.
And we're just going to pray more.
Yeah.
I think that's the cool thing, is that everyone's fasts are going to look a little bit different. And but we're all making space to make time so that we can pray for God to do something here.
I think, Annie, I think giving yourself giving yourself permission to go, okay, God, what does it look like for me to go off of the, you know, off of the traditional, you know, because of dietary reasons, going, okay, God, would you show me what that looks like? And then respond. I think what he's looking for is, do I have a people who would ask me, God, what do you want me to do? And then respond. And I think it really comes down to giving up something that you love for something that you love more. Giving up something that you want for something that you want more. And God, what I want more than a sandwich. And what I want more than to binge watch a show. Is I want my friends to come to Jesus. And he's saying, would you, because as Dave tells a story, he said, if I lost one of my kids, if one of my kids was lost, what would I do? Well, I would go look for him. And Dave said, you know what? I realized that that God has a lot of lost kids in this city. And there are a lot of people who have given up looking. And fasting and prayer, no matter what we give up, is a way that we join God in what he's burdened for and what he's passionate about.
And I am a huge believer in fasting food and doing a traditional fast. And I have another one scheduled for later this year. I wrote about that and Remember God, that I always fast on my birthday. But this one, I sense him going like, we're not there right now. But I do have, you know, I live in a new condo complex. And so I've thought, what if every day instead of, what if I just lap and I pray for my, because I can't ask the whole Nashville to be different, but I can take some laps around my people that are my neighbors.
Yes.
And then I'm going to have to start answering the door when people start knocking, because then God's going to start doing stuff and it's going to bother me.
He is. And then I love it, because you're going to pull confidence out of that investment in prayer.
Yeah.
And the time that conversation happens, now he's built up confidence. Like, I've been praying for this
neighborhood.
And so prayer, it does. It changes us. Fasting changes us. And we find confidence, not in the legalistic act, but in that intimacy with him.
Right.
You know? And when we're most intimate with him, that's when we're less intimidated by other people.
Yeah, you know? That's right. So I'll get my 10 people on my list, and then I'm going after my complex, condo neighbors. I'm going after my neighbors and those 10.
Neighbors plus 10.
That's right. Good. Netflix can wait. This Is Us ain't going anywhere.
That's right.
I'm going to be just fine. Thanks for doing this. Yeah, I appreciate it. You're such a good addition to our show. So I'm grateful for you taking time.
Oh, we love you, Annie. Thank you.
Mutual. Definitely check that website out that we are talking about, awakennashville.com, and join in however works for you. Thank you, Pastor Kevin, for how generous you give to our show and to our church and to our city and to my life. I'm very, very grateful for you and Ree and the kids. Y'all are some of my very favorites. It wouldn't be a Christmas show without actually reading the story from the book of Luke of Jesus's birth. And there's no better person to read it than my mom. So not only did you get my dad in the show, my mini BFFs, Pastor Kevin, now also Pam. You're going to love it. Here is my mom reading the birth of Jesus from Luke.
Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as had been told.
Thanks, Mama. Great job. We're so thankful that both you and Dad took time to be on the show today. I'm really, really thankful. If you've never read The Christmas Story for yourself, or if you need to read it in a new version or just hear it again, just make sure, you know, listen with open ears. It's an amazing story. It's in a couple of different Gospels, but Luke is the personal favorite of mine and the most commonly read one. So if you're looking for the book of Luke, if you don't own a Bible, perchance, you can download the YouVersion app of the Bible. And there are a lot of different versions on there. That's what I use when I'm reading myself. I'll read the NIV. That's the Bible I have. But then a lot of times I use the YouVersion app to read the Message version or the Passion Translation or the ESV. I like that one too. Before I let my mini BFFs go, I had them all say a little message to you. So that's how we will wrap up our show today. Here are my mini BFFs with a little message.
Merry Christmas, whoever you are watching this video.
Listening to this podcast. That's what it'd be. Merry Christmas, whoever's listening to this podcast.
Merry Christmas, Fozbast friends. And whoever's watching this podcast.
That's right. There you go.
Bye. Merry Christmas. I mean, no, friends.
Merry Christmas, friends.
Oh, well done. I love you, sister.
I love you, sister. Oh.
Merry Christmas, friends.
Merry Christmas, podcast friends.
Happy birthday, baby Jesus.
Happy birthday, baby Jesus.
You're done. That's it. Anything else you want to say about Christmas? You can say whatever you want.
Yes.
Say, thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me, my lady.
Merry Christmas, friends!
You say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And say Happy Birthday, Jesus.
Happy Birthday, Jesus.
Say, you're the best,
happy
Crazy Annie.
You're the best, Crazy Annie.
Oh, I hope you enjoyed hearing a little Merry Christmas from my friends. You guys, we've got one more show for you this week. Eddie Kaufholz is back on Thursday. He probably really does wrap up the Christmas party. He's always the last guy. It and Eliza every year.
Every time.
He's the last guy to leave a party.
He's that guy you hope is still there, and he is.
That's right. That's right. So he's the last guy to leave our party. We'll have an episode with him on Thursday, and then we will have a break on New Year's Eve, and then we'll be back on January the 3rd with a new episode with Carrie Newhoff that I think you guys are going to absolutely love. Hey, if you guys need anything from me, I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and we've got ourselves a new website, and it's so cute. Thank you to Luke and Byron and their teams for helping us get that pulled off in the last few months. That is the best place for you to go find show notes. If you're curious about links, or if you want to get a direct link to one of our sponsors, if you want to see a picture of the guest, all that is up there on AnnieFDowns.com. If you go click on the podcast tab, there's a books tab, a podcast tab, and a speaking tab. Everything you could need to know from your friend Annie is there. And just a reminder, we are going to start 100 Days to Brave 2019 on January 1st. If you haven't gotten the book yet, go ahead and grab it, or grab it the day after Christmas, because I bet it'll be on sale everywhere. And we will start together on January 1st. It'll be super, super fun. You can get all the information about that just by going to my Instagram, Annie F. Downs, and there is a highlight in the Insta stories called 2019 Brave. And so just click on that, and that'll give you all the details. So from my friends to you.
From the Nashville assistant, Kate, Merry Christmas.
From Eliza the boss, Merry Christmas.
From Jenna, the CAO, Merry Christmas.
From Chad, the producer, Merry Christmas.
And from your friend Annie, Merry Christmas, friends. I'm so, so thankful for you. Hope you have a great Christmas tomorrow, and go out and make sure you do something that sounds really, really fun and a good bit Christmassy over today and tomorrow. And we will see you back here with Eddie Koffeltz on Thursday. You guys have a great, great Christmas.